Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise. The following is an exclusive presentation of Derek Mason and cannot be replicated or reproduced without the express written consent of Morning Drive as we welcome you in to another D-Mace dissection of the All-22.
The autumn wind is a Michigan State receiver from Detroit.
From Detroit, from the cold city of Detroit.
Not a pirate, a Spartan.
Okay, once again, people, I'm going over three plays here. And two plays are miscues, and one is a hit by Marcus Mariota. So we're going to go over all three, but we're going to do this one by one, and then we're going to talk about it as a show. So hopefully, you know, the listeners, y'all, I know y'all love it because y'all tweeting about it. So here we go again.
It's hot.
First series of the first quarter after Jacksonville goes up 7-0. The Tennessee Titans, they have the ball. It's 1st and 10. Ball on the 35-yard line. 12 minutes left. Titans are in heavy formation. Which means three tight ends, one wide receiver, one back. Here's the play call. This is what I call the play, not necessarily what the Titans call the play. Gun right tight zoom, which means the Z is going in motion, which the Z is Delanie Walker in this situation. Y drive, Z chase. Y drive, self-explanatory. The Y has a drive route, which is a shallow cross, which is Jonnu Smith. And then Z chase is you have two corner routes. You have a short corner route, and then you have a high corner route by the two receivers. On this particular play, Marcus Mariota drops back. He's already in the gun, so he doesn't drop back. He's already in the gun. He doesn't get as much pressure. He steps up in the pocket, wide open. He has Jonnu Smith going across he's going from right to left. Across the formation, wide open. It will be nothing but a 3-yard gain. That's it, 3 or 4 yard gain. Now it goes from 1st and 10 to 1st and 6, 1st and 7. I mean, 2nd and 7, 2nd and 6. He misses Delanie Walker, Jonnu Smith, wide open. He throws it over his head. A 3-yard pass that Marcus Mariota throws over his head. Now, listen, Marcus had to step up in the pocket a little bit. He had a little pressure coming around the edge, but it still was a completable pass that Marcus sailed over Jonnu Smith's head. Those are the passes that when I say we got to stay ahead of the sticks, you got to complete. Because now it goes from 2nd and 10 to 2nd and 7, 2nd and 6. And it makes it more manageable for the offense. It makes Arthur Smith's play calling that much, makes it much easier. Because the playbook's now open. He's not limited to what he can call on 2nd and 10. So Marcus, on this situation, guys, he has to complete that pass. He really does.
How often, I'm just watching it on your laptop as you're playing the film of it. How often do you see a team in heavy formation, three tights, like you said, where you're in shotgun? It's usually under center, right?
13, yeah, it's usually under
13
center.
13 personnel is not shotgun.
Yeah, you usually see it under center, but here's the deal. With the Titans.
Is this because the O-line's an issue?
The O-line's an issue.
Yeah.
Then two, it's because we say heavy formation with these two tight ends, but these two tight ends do act as receivers also. Jonnu Smith is a really good receiver, but he's a tight end. Obviously, we know what we have in Delanie Walker. Delanie's typically a good blocker, but he's a receiver that's playing tight end, so to speak. So you can go heavy formation and still get somewhat of the blocking, but you have an outlet with one of the tight ends as well. So you go into heavy formation.
I don't want to steal your next play's thunder if it's the Adam Humphries incompletion. Is that your next play by any chance? The little bubble pass?
No.
So that's my biggest issue with Marcus on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest issue with the performance of the quarterback, because we talked about a lot of stuff on, you know, Mike Vrabel's decision, you know, the offensive line. My biggest criticism of Marcus Mariota is early in the game, in the first half and in the particularly the first quarter, there were 2 or 3 or 4 easy throws. Like the one you're talking about to Jonnu Smith. The one that stands out to me is the Adam Humphries bubble screen to the left,
mm-hmm.
where all you it's like a long handoff. It should be a formality that you have completed it. Mm-hmm. And he missed over the top of Adam Humphrey's head. And that play right there that you talked about, he did that about three or four times in the first half, and those are the biggest mistakes, in my opinion, with Marcus on Thursday night. In the second half, he was different. He was better. But he's completing the big passes. You've got to also complete the easy ones because the completion should be a formality.
Absolutely.
All right, D-Mace, play number two.
Play number two. Still, it's the first half. The Titans are in 3rd and 16, which is there's not many plays you can call
just,
it.
Just punt the ball.
Yeah, there's not many plays you can call it.
Or you could do a draw play like Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, you can do that and not get anything. 3rd and 16 at their own 29 with 10 minutes left, okay? They're in zebra formation, which is three wides, a tight end, and one back. The play is called trips right, X deep corner, Z whip. So what they're doing is they got trips to your left, okay? They have three receivers to the left. Everybody else is standing sort of blocking. So it's basically a three-man route. The outside guy, which on this one is Corey Davis. He runs a whip route. The inside guy, which is Brown, he runs a deep corner. Then you add Adam Humphreys, who's the third wide receiver in. He runs a short corner. So, again, it's X, deep corner, Z, whip. What we have here is Marcus gets some pressure on the outside, but he steps up in the pocket as he's supposed to do. He has a whip route that is wide open. I think Marcus panics, and instead of throwing the whip route, picking up maybe 5-6 yards, punting the ball away, he throws into double coverage, almost a pick. Luckily, the ball is batted down with the helps of Adam Humphreys. He gets in there and he helps bat the ball down, but he lofts a pass up after stepping up in the pocket as he was supposed to do. He lofts the ball up into double coverage, almost an interception. You can't do that as a quarterback. You see what's being played. You don't take chances like that. Either you run the ball yourself, throw it out of bounds, or hit the whip route. You cannot throw it to a 5'8 receiver in double coverage. He's not going to catch the ball. They're lucky that pass was an interception, intercepted, and taken the other way.
So if he is going to throw up jump balls, we want to see that on earlier downs down the sideline to an A.J. Brown or a Corey Davis where it's him or the sideline. And most importantly, it's to a guy that's 6'3", 6'4", not 5'9".
And ideally in single coverage.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, and it was basically a zone, sort of a zone coverage. Marcus has to read that. He has to read that it's zone coverage. And he has to see. He had enough time to step up in the pocket, which was great. They did a horrible job at blocking. They had two guys blocking one guy, Delanie Walker and Lewis. Didn't block the guy at all, which caused Marcus to step up in the pocket, which caused him to panic and throw in a double coverage. You can't have that. If you're going to be a good passing team, you can't have breakdowns on just about every level.
I was going to say, so if you're putting a lot, so some of that's on Marcus for not making
the
right read.
Yeah, some of that's on Marcus, but some of it is on the blocking.
But it's one of those where, like, if Calais Campbell in 2 seconds is on top of you, it's not the quarterback's fault. If Jack Conklin is bull rushed into your legs and you fall down, it's not your fault. It doesn't mean you can't make a better read. There was one sack where Delanie Walker, they ran a play action and Marcus drops back and Delanie Walker's coming on a crossing route and it's about a 5 or 6 yard crossing route and there is nobody within a mile of him. And if he just, the second he turns, has some urgency and makes the right read and gets rid of the ball instantly, Delanie Walker's got at least a 7 or 8 yard gain, if not more, and he's wide open. And Marcus has to read those plays and know that the pressure is coming. The problem is he's having to balance the fear of the rush with the actual rush and then the perceived rush, and all of it's making him all of it right now is affecting his decision making.
We will come back and get to the third and final play of the D-Mace dissection of the All 22. That's next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Listen, if you need an actual dissection of your house, right? This is what you need. If you have a breakdown in your heater, your cooler, your AC unit, something breaks, you're going to need a dissection. You're going to need a diagnostic. You need Spring Hill Heating and Cooling in your life to come to your house and diagnose what's going on with your house. Things break all the time. It's, you know, furnaces and heaters and AC units. It's complicated stuff. Let Spring Hill Heating and Cooling be your emergency plan for when one of those things breaks. And if it's just a minor incident, they'll come out, they'll diagnose the entire thing, they'll run a complete check on every part of your home system, your heating and cooling, and they'll lay out exactly what's going on. And here are a couple of different. It's like going through reads as a quarterback. Like you're gonna as a client, they're gonna present you with two or three reads, and you have a chance to make the best decision for your house. They want to make sure that you get the best possible service at the best possible price, and make the smartest decision for the health and efficiency of your home. That's gonna save you money in the long run. SpringHeal Heating and Cooling has done this for over two decades in Middle Tennessee, so they understand what these houses are going through every single summer in this ridiculously hot summer that we're in right now. So check them out, springhillac.com. They got great financing plans. They've doubled in size, opening up a new office for you Westsiders out there by Dixon. They can cover all of Middle Tennessee. They've been doing it for more than 20 years, and they're a trusted quality product without that expensive bloviated expensive corporate costs. All right, check them out. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill AC is the website. SpringHillAC.com. Tell them Braden sent you.
The MTSU Blue Raider football team is back in action this Saturday as they take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Kickoff at 11 a.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 97.5 in Murfreesboro. As we continue on, the D-Mace dissection of the All-22. Two plays down. One to go, and again, the following is an exclusive presentation of Derek Mason and cannot be replicated without the express written consent of Morning Drive.
Yeah, so if I hear anybody or see anybody doing this, then biting.
No other humans are allowed to dissect football plays ever again.
On air.
Swagger jacket.
You're never allowed to happen.
I had to beg Brian Baldinger to do this, and he gave me special Baldy dispensation. He respects you.
Yeah, Baldy gave him the okay, the blessing. And then he brought it to me, and now this is where we're at.
You got to do the breakdown while you're chewing something.
Yeah.
You got food in your mouth.
All right, people.
It's so gross. Oh, God.
Now, here. You know, I always do two and one. I mean, two plays that I felt, you know, could have been better. And then I like to do one that, you know, I feel that Marcus did everything he was supposed to do.
It's like the same ratio when we go to a meeting with management. We get ripped for two things and praised for one.
It's called a compliment sandwich.
Right, it's like we're in a conference room.
You should move the good play in the middle then.
Yeah, I should move the good play in the middle.
Bad, good,
but
bad.
No. But here's the thing. Okay. First thing first, it's second and six, which tells me on first down, they got positive yards.
Ooh.
They got 4 yards.
Imagine that.
So, listen, people, when you are at second and six, the playbook is infinite. You can do whatever you want to. You can run, you can pass, you can play X, you can do whatever you want to. Mind blowing, isn't it?
My mind just exploded. A playbook that is infinite.
Wow, you can do whatever you want to. So, Tennessee Titan fans, it's second and six at Tennessee's 30 with 5 minutes and 47 seconds left. They are in three wides, which I call zebra formation. This is the play called, okay? Just bear with me here. Listen. Yo to bunch right nasty.
Ooh.
P18, Z burner, X over, okay? So Z burner, X over. I'm basically telling you, this is self-explanatory for the wide receivers. You have an over route, deep over, and you have a burner route, which is a high corner route. In this situation, you have three wide receivers on the field. Corey Davis, Sharp and Humphreys. You have Delanie Walker, which is going to stay in to block. Okay. Marcus is underneath center. Derrick Henry's in the backfield. Yo formation means the tight end is going from one side to the other, which is he's going from my left to my right, which is now he's lined up in trips or bunch formation. Okay. Bunch to the right. Marcus play action, which is P18. Play action to Derrick Henry. He steps up in a pocket, and with Corey Davis running a high corner route, Corey Davis takes the corner and the safety with him. Sharp is coming across on a deep over route. There's a big hole in the zone defense. Marcus steps up in the pocket, and bam, hits Sharp for around a 20-something yard gain.
Is that cover two or cover three?
That is cover three that they're playing right now.
So Davis is driving off the coverage to allow Sharp to come back up underneath him and cross over into a more open space.
Davis is on your right. He runs a high corner, so he's taken, which is Jalen Ramsey. He's taken the corner and the safety to his side. He's taken them away from the play. But here's the part that could have been bad for the Tennessee Titans. Instead of Corey Davis taking it high on his quarter route, he tries to break across the face of Jalen Ramsey. And if he doesn't run it to Jalen Ramsey, that could be a pick. But he runs it to Jalen Ramsey. Now Jalen Ramsey can't get off and hit and cover the over route. Sharp comes across on a cut split. He comes across and he runs a 12, but it's about a 15-yard over route. He pushes up. He runs at the safety. The safety backs up thinking he's running a corner route. But he pushes him, works his technique, and comes across the field. It amounts to a 20-something yard gain. Marcus did everything he was supposed to do. He steps up in the pocket. He scans the field, read the defense, and throws a perfect pass to Sharp. That's the way it's supposed to look. That's what you can do when it's second and six as opposed to second and 10, second and 15, second and 12. When it's second and six, you can run the ball. Because they had to respect the fact that he play actioned to Derrick Henry. Because if you don't respect Derrick Henry, he's going to get the football and he's going to run up the right side for about 20 yards. So those linebackers have to respect that Derrick Henry's going to get the ball in second and six.
Yep.
Now, if it's second and 10, second and 12, they don't respect that.
You're putting more pressure
exactly.
on everybody else.
Absolutely. Yeah. So second and six, I have to honor the run and the play action, which leaves a big hole for Sharp coming across the middle, coming across the field. Marcus scans the field. Does a good job of stepping up in the pocket. Mechanics is perfect. Lofts the ball to Sharp for a 20-something yard gain. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what you can do when you are in front of the sticks instead of behind the sticks. And when I say in front of the sticks, I mean second and six, second and five, second and three. And behind the sticks means second and 10, second and 12, second and 15.
Anything more than 4 yards. Anything 4 yards or more, I think, on first down is considered a quote-unquote successful play.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of stats on success rate of plays, right? And anything between 1 to 3 yards is considered okay. Anything under, you know, zero and negative is negative. But anything 4 yards and up, if you get 4 yards every play, you're going to get a first down.
Mm-hmm.
So it is fascinating that, again, what second and six can do to your offense. Now, we had a question. Somebody asked me on Twitter, how many three and outs – you know, what is the Derrick Henry, because this ties to Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. your point about picking up positive yards on first down, in large part, that's going to be Derrick Henry. Somebody asked me on Twitter how many three and outs the Titans have had, and I went back and checked. They have had 9 3 and outs, and I don't know what this number tells me. To be honest with you, I'm kind of terrified of it. They've had 9 3 and outs so far in this season, in three games. Six of those featured a Derrick Henry run. That's a concern to me if I'm Arthur Smith and I'm looking at, well, what's leading to three and outs? Number one would have to be sacks, mm-hmm. right? A big negative play has to lead to a three and out. But the idea that Derrick Henry was getting the football on first down in particular, five of those 9 3 and outs, Derrick Henry got a first down run. And so what that tells me is I'm not seeing the first down run with Derrick Henry lead me to first downs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the concern I have. Now, it doesn't mean that Derrick Henry hasn't found success elsewhere, or that the offense hasn't found a way to pick up 2 or 3 or 4 yards on first down in a different way. But if they've had 9 3 and outs and Derrick Henry's touching the ball on six of them, that means the running game needs to be better too, even though we look at the raw numbers and we see success on the running game.
Well,
that's just a weird number to
me. We gave you the numbers yesterday from Warren Sharp at Sharp Football about first and 10, first and 10, second and 10, and all those carries were to Derrick Henry, and it was 1 yard, no yard, 1 yard, 2 yards. So if you're using them early and you're not having success, what do you do?
And again, this is where it's complicated because you have to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't give up on it, even if you're not finding success, which means you have to be patient as an offense, which means you're asking your fans to be patient. Because the way this Titans team wants to win games is 23-20. That's how they want to win games, because their defense is built to win games. They've got a great special teams kicker or punter. They have a quarterback who's good in play action,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's all the reasons why Derrick Henry's even more important and why the running game's even more important. Right now, your offensive line cannot protect the quarterback, but they can run the ball. Hello? Like, all of this points to be patient, play the field position game, let your defense keep you in the game, mm-hmm. and then allow your offense to run the football a little bit. So what that second and six tells me when they have success in that situation is just you just need 3 or 4 yards on first down. Mm-hmm. You got to get rid of the 1 yard gain and the 0 yard gain. I know you got to stick with it, but if Derrick Henry's getting a carry 6 times out of their 9 3-and-outs, I don't know. That's a concern for me if I'm a Titans fan with the running game.
All right, that's going to do it for another installment of the D-Mace dissection. We're going to stuff Derek back in the laboratory. He'll be back again next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Class is dismissed. Stick to sports in 15 minutes. We're back after this on Morning Drive.
But before I go to the lab, back to the lab, I'm going to go back over to Cool Springs MD. And I advise you, men, while I'm headed over there, you know what? I should see at least 10 of y'all behind me. Because, man, listen, I've been telling you this for, I don't know, it's been almost a year now, about Cool Springs MD. And I know more men are seeking help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. I know that. So if we know that, then why not go see Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that experienced staff? Because this is what they will do. They will give you treatment required to improve your quality of life. And we men need a better quality of life. Cool Spring MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, which I am in, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. Because, guys, when our energy levels are low, man, everybody around us feel it. But when they are high, boy, oh, boy, man, we can go outside. We can play with the kids. We can, you know, come back in the house. We can have fun. We do all the things that, you know, that the family love for dad to do.
Dunk on mama.
Dunk on mama, whatever it is. We can do it because our energy levels are high. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And I'm telling you, after I saw them, my life has been much healthier, much more enriched. You know, I feel like that 25-year-old that I once felt like many, many moons ago. I'm back at it now, people. And you know why I'm back at it? Because I went to go see the good folks at Cool Springs MD. Because now I have a healthier lifestyle. And I know, man, you want a healthier lifestyle. Look around. Look at everybody that's around you. And if you don't think they have a healthy lifestyle, grab that guy and take him with you. But here's the number before you go, because you can't just walk up in there all willy-nilly. Here's the number to make an appointment. And an appointment is free, people. It's free. It don't cost you anything to make this call, okay? So here it is, 615-660-6900, 615-660-6900. Or visit their website, because if you don't visit this website, boy, oh, boy, you're losing a lot. But visit this website, coolspringsmd.com.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise. Stick to sports.
This is the one they were dancing outside the car.
Which one?
On this song?
No idea.
Yes, this is the song.
Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about, but did you guys see the follow-up report from Channel 2, I believe,
on
our Antioch car dancer?
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, they went and interviewed her.
Oh, why did they do that?
We should have pulled the audio. They went and interviewed her.
Why did they do
that? And she was
that?
Like, listen, man, we've been sitting in traffic. Why not turn up the traffic, too?
Wait, so the car dancer was female?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I thought it was a dude.
They're, dude ain't oh, up there twerking wow, on a Mustang. Come on.
Nobody's
man.
Up there twerking.
She goes, we were sitting in traffic. I'm paraphrasing here.
You get enough Tito's in me, I'll start twerking.
That I would pay money for. I think it was Channel 2. They went and interviewed her, and they were like, well, so why'd you dance on your car? And she's like, well, we were sitting in traffic. It was moving like 10 miles an hour. We were dead stop. So I figured, well, let's turn it up. Why not turn it up in traffic?
Jesus.
I was like, I don't know, because you could die. Like,
yep.
Hey, good for her. She was like, this ain't the first time I've danced on a car.
Man, that is just.
You got to do what you got to do.
It was so funny.
Big Preds announcement coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned for that. We've got Stick to Sports in about 10 minutes. So now that we've done your All-22 dissection, your biggest takeaway from those three plays that you can draw a conclusion from?
My biggest takeaway is first, you know, you have to, if you get positive yards on first down, then the playbook is, like I said, it's infinite. You can do whatever you basically want to that second play. So that's first and foremost. Secondly, is they have to do a better job at protecting. You know, they got to do a better job at protecting. When it's called for a double team by the tight end and the running back, both of you can't whiff on, you know, on the block. It's two guys versus one. And y'all can't, and it's not like the guy that they were blocking, you know, was this, you know, six. He wasn't Calais Campbell, okay? Let's just say that. It wasn't Calais Campbell they were blocking. And they both whiffed on the block, which caused Marcus to have to step up in the pocket. That's the second thing. Third thing is, Marcus, if there's nothing there, live to see another day. Don't throw in a double coverage. Read your cues. Step up in the pocket and deliver a pass. Yes, it was raining outside. Yes, it was windy. But it didn't stop Jacksonville's quarterback from throwing dimes. And at times, Marcus, you allowed the ball to sail on you. You were not, you know, secure in your fundamentals. And maybe that is attributed to, you know, the rush or him seeing things that are not there, him wanting to get the ball away quickly because he doesn't want to get hit. But all three of those things that I mentioned, they all contributes to what happens at the end, a complete pass, an incomplete pass at times.
But here's the thing that we want, though. Like, I feel like a lot of us amongst the media and the fan base want to see Marcus take more shots. So are we looking for more designed shots where it's one guy or nobody, as opposed to where he did put it up an ill-advised throw into double coverage of all people to Adam Humphries? Is there a difference between taking your designed risks and then forcing it, quote, ad-libbing
well,
on the run?
Yeah, it is, because there was one particular play that I didn't pull out of it and break it down that happened later in the game, where it was a play action. It was a double move by Sharp against A.J. Boye. Sharp ran a stutter go and was wide open. He would have bumped, again, he would have bumped his head on the goalpost.
Is that
was
the one where the
wide
ball
open.
Was to the
yeah,
left
he
of him,
threw
behind
the
him.
Ball to the left of him and
somebody
with nobody
that,
out there.
Somebody did that wrong, whether it was Sharp or Mariota. It one was, of the
but,
two
but
got
that's
wrong.
Where Mariota has to see where the corner's playing. He has to see the field, where the corner's playing and where he needs to throw the ball. He just can't say, you know what, he can't. He can't look at a play and predetermine where he's going to throw it or, you know, where he's going to put it. He has to, as he's dropping back, he has to read the coverage. And he has to know that, hey, listen, that guy's playing outside. My guy runs the double coverage. He's going to go to the inside. He's going to run to the inside of him. So I got to throw the ball as such. He threw it as if Sharp was running outside. If he reads the play, the defense correctly, Sharp is wide open for a touchdown, and he threw it. It was almost like a lollipop to the left, to the outside. And I know the coaches looked at it, and they just shook their head. I know that's one Marcus wish he would have got back, but he can't do that. That's those things he can't do as a fifth-year quarterback. With a guy that is wide open, you can't miss shots like that against a defense like Jacksonville.
I don't disagree with that play at all, and a lot of the first half, no question. I will point out, and I pointed this out on Friday, they made great halftime adjustments because they came out on the first three drives of the second half. And this is not – I'm not talking about garbage time. I'm not talking about, you know, the 80-yard drive at the end of the game where they all padded their stats, right? I'm not talking about garbage time when the game was out of hand. I'm talking about a 14-0 game where on the first possession – of the first half, they went 9 plays, 55 yards, and got into the red zone, and then Mike Vrabel didn't kick the field goal. The very next possession, they ran an 11-play drive, where a sack leads to a problem. But they ran 11 plays, picked up first downs, Mariota made throws. On the third drive of the second half, they went 7 plays, 66 yards, and scored a touchdown. So on the first three drives of the second half, when the game was still very much a real thing, had they just kicked the field goal, it would have been 14-10. And it would have been a football game. And Mariota was excellent on all three of those drives. I think he was 10 of 14 for 160 yards on the first three drives of the second half. That is not garbage time. So even in a game where they played atrociously along the line of scrimmage, he missed throws in the first half, they still did a good job making adjustments at halftime, coming out and playing good offensive football in the first three drives. I think the coach made a huge mistake by not kicking the field goal. We've talked about that ad nauseum. They had a couple of sacks on the second drive, so they had to punt. And then on the third drive, they scored a touchdown. So, again, like you see the glimpses. This is what's so frustrating about it. You see the glimpses, and you see the – like the throw to Jonnu Smith on second and 16 down the seam is one of the best throws I've ever seen Marcus made of his entire career. That's between two defenders, right down the hash marks on basically a go route on second and 16 for 20 yards and a first down. One of the best throws he makes. And you see that quarter of football, and you go, why are you missing wide-open dudes on – first and 10 in the first quarter. The pressure is certainly a factor, but that's on Marcus. There still is plenty of hope. There's still plenty of good to take away from the third quarter. Now, the fourth quarter, I don't care about the numbers. That's garbage time. You're down 17-0. The Jags are playing different defense, you know, all that stuff. It's far more loose. That's no big deal. But all the big plays came in that third quarter, and they still had a chance to be in the game. And I still go back to that damn missed field goal attempt. Like, kick the stinking field goal on fourth and six when you're inside the 20-yard line in the third quarter.
Yeah, because then it's, what, 14-3?
It's the first drive of the third quarter. Well, like, what? You don't chase points on the first drive of the third quarter.
You got to find a positive, right? Get on the board.
If it was an offensive showcase and you were going up and down the field and both offenses were amazing, then sure, maybe you go for it. But this was a game where your defense had completely shut down the opposition. After the first two touchdowns, you take points and you work your way back into the game, because had they done that, it would have been 14-10 going into the fourth quarter.
Time for another installment of Silly Underdog Picks. Make your picks now. For the three college football underdogs that you think will win this Saturday, the weekly winner will get a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville sporting event or concert. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or play on the Game Nashville mobile app. Silly Underdog Picks is brought to you by the Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We've got a big Preds announcement coming up in just about 17 minutes, but Stick to Sports is on the way here on Morning Drive.
I think of you. I get so emotional, baby. Love can do. Yeah, love can make you emotional.
I'll tell you what, breaking down the All-22 gets me emotional.
That's good. I'm glad it
gets
does.
You more than that, Nick.
You have no idea what you did for me in those 30 minutes.
Man, I'm glad.
You feeling relaxed now?
Give me a cigarette.
The endorphins,
Need to go see Cool Springs MD?
No, I think I'm good.
No, no, he just needs a D-Mace dissection. Yeah. He's good to go.
Yeah, I just hope you call me in the morning. That's all.
Big Preds announcement coming up in 13 minutes. The big finish an hour from now. But right now, it's 8:45. You heard Whitney. Let's stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
Basically.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
All right, Mace, Stick to Sports, brought to you by
Decorated Den Interiors. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den when you are ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces. Stick with the pros. Make a complimentary appointment, which is free, at decoratedden.com.
Number one.
Now, Braden mentioned earlier about the twerker now making the news and doing interviews now on why she was twerking. So News 2 got this information from this girl, interviewed her, and here's what she had to say about why she was twerking.
I take chances with life, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm going to live my life. You know, it's too many rules.
This time, the 23-year-old broke the rules in Antioch.
We was going 20. They had the lights on. We wasn't going too fast.
Video shows her dancing, twerking, even doing the splits on top of her moving Mustang.
Been sitting in traffic for 30 minutes waiting on the train, so I said, you know what? I told my friend to drive my car, hop in my car, did my little dancing, and, you know, just had a good time. Yeah, I'm going to put on a little show. Why not? I'm in traffic anyway. Why not turn up in traffic?
She says her moves came from dancing and cheerleading as a kid, and that she didn't think once about how dangerous it was.
I have balance.
Well, she has balance. We did learn that, fellas.
Okay, there's two problems I have with this. One, why do you even feel the need to go interview this girl? For one,
I'm just glad
just
the news channel
did interview.
She was a viral sensation.
No, yes. No, you don't.
People want more from Twerk
no,
Girl.
No, there's other things you can be doing. There's other people you can be interviewing.
No, our education system isn't interesting.
Exactly. Instead of something like that, that's the first problem. The second problem is have fun another way.
don't endanger your life and possibly somebody else's by getting on your hood and dancing.
Well, she was stuck in the car for 30 minutes. You can only spend so much time on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, that's too long. 30
what was the longest? What was the longest you guys were ever stuck in a car that wasn't moving? Like, literally on a highway.
I mean, the not moving thing, like, it's one thing to come to a screeching halt and then sort of, like, creep, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, you could sit and creep for, like, an hour. But as long as you're making some progress, you don't go completely insane.
I was stuck for 3 hours
it's
once.
When the car is dead stopped.
I think I was stuck that long. But LA traffic, obviously, it's pretty bad.
Pennsylvania snowstorm, this was probably 2013. I was driving to Philadelphia to do I was doing a night show at the time. And I got on the Pennsylvania Turnpike about 4:30 for a 7 o'clock show.
Oh, no.
And with the snow, it was so bad, I didn't get into work till 8 o'clock. Did not move for 3 hours.
Well, again, there's a difference between, like, the creep, right? Where, like, you can still – you're creeping. Like, to me, as long as you're still – the tires are still rolling, even if they're rolling really slowly, that still somehow is a easier-to-deal-with thing than when your foot is on the brake. And if you can put it in park, that's when I start to go completely insane. I got stuck on Briley a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And normally Briley's, like, just super smooth and super fast. I was going north on Briley from 40 up looping around the city – and there was a big wreck and a big problem, and it was just dead stopped. And I got on at like 10:15 after the show, didn't get off Briley until like 11:30, and I went two exits, in like an hour, which is like a mile. That is when you can put the car in park. That's the problem.
You're in trouble.
In that newscast, we missed one important thing. I'm glad that News 2 actually went in a backstory on this woman. Like she has a story. She's not just a car twerker, ladies and gentlemen. She has a story. Hmm. She's a former dancer that just so happens to like dancing on top of Mustangs.
Just don't dance on cars. I'm with Derek. Just don't dance on cars. Yeah. Like, just... There's a million bars downtown.
All right, well, look,
go dance
Mustang
somewhere where you're allowed
Maggie twerking on the hood.
Enough of the motives. What does she look like? What was it visually appealing?
I mean, it wasn't.
Was it
terrible.
Well worth, like, you know, was it worth the price of admission? I mean, let's get some details here, Marquise. You just played the audio. You had to pull the video.
Are you asking me?
I mean, 1 to 10. How was she?
I don't
dancing
like,
skill
don't
or?
Like, or dancing skills. Yeah, she was about a
like an 8.
I'll say about a 7.
Yeah, I was going to say a 7.
I was going to say a 7.
The entire look and vibe is more like a.
I just don't understand kids nowadays, and I do call her a kid because she's probably in her 20s. But I just don't understand kids nowadays. I just want to have fun. Well, damn it, don't have fun and put your life at risk.
Get off my lawn, man.
Gosh, I do sound like that guy, but still.
Get off that car.
No, but I think it's okay. I don't think it's get off my lawn, guy.
I would snatch my daughter up by her collar.
Yeah, like,
yes, and I said that, people. I would snatch her up by her collar. If I ever seen a video like that.
Like, it's one thing to be don't get off my lawn guy just in general towards young people. Like, I don't understand blah, 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 blah. It's another thing when you're putting your life at risk.
Exactly. Like, have fun. I mean, I don't know. Get out the car and walk on and twerk on the sidewalk somewhere.
Yeah,
while the car is not moving, play your music loud.
Spin one of your those signs. You know, there's always those sign spinners out there.
I like the way you twerk. No dig.
Number two.
Gotta bag
it. Hey, did you guys? All right, so this is a very bizarre story. Have you guys seen this story about a police officer in Orlando arrested 2 6-year-olds?
Yes.
At school for throwing a temper tantrum?
No, those are not my daughters. They don't live in Orlando, and they're 5, not 6.
Well, so it's crazy. So that police officer is now fired, but he basically arrested a girl and a boy for an unidentified situation. But the girl apparently threw a temper tantrum in class, and then he put her in handcuffs and like charged with like a misdemeanor.
God.
How can you as a that's just a whole bunch of problems with that. First, she's 6 years old.
Is that like legal?
Secondly,
it's not legal, a tantrum,
and it's not legal for what he did was illegal.
So,
and he should have known that as an officer.
I tell you what, if I walked into a school and my 6-year-old daughter is in handcuffs,
they fingerprinted her too.
I might lose my mind on somebody.
So it's not. So the law basically says that the department it requires you to have approval from a supervisor before arresting a minor younger than 12. So he didn't get the proper requirements to actually arrest this person, so that's why he got in a lot of hot water for it.
How do you arrest a 6-year-old?
Well,
would you arrest
a 6-year-old?
Yeah,
maybe she was singing the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse theme too loud and too long.
I've got
enough to drive you nuts.
A tantrum.
I've got one idea in my head, and I'm not sure I want to bringing up as to why this might happen, because not every child is treated exactly the same.
I just don't get it.
No, you're absolutely right.
Like, if you look at discipline, you know, kids that get expelled versus kids that don't get expelled, it's very different when you look at different cross sections of the population.
Almost went to juvenile hall when I was in sixth grade.
I just don't get it.
For fighting.
It's like, why?
Would you get a fight with an Auburn kid?
Yes. No, this was before Alabama.
Jay Barker was much better than Patrick Nix. I'll fight you.
No, this kid.
John Parker Wilson was better than Jason Campbell.
I was sticking up for to a bully, pretty much. He was bullying fourth graders.
You're a hero.
Yeah. He called me a racial slur, which I'm not going to repeat on air. And he also talked about my mama, which that was the last straw. So that's when I beat him up, when he talked about my mama.
If you're picking on small elementary school kids, you're using racial slurs and you're talking about someone's mama, I think you almost have grounds to attack this person.
I beat him up pretty bad.
I think you almost have grounds.
I'm just still tripping off that officer. That's just like, man.
Seriously. I need more details on the officer and the child, to be honest with you.
I know all the details of it because I read the story, and it's despicable. It's just, have some common sense. Like, it's a six-year-old. What is she going to do to you?
I mean, I want to. Nothing. Don't get me wrong. I would like to arrest my three-year-old, like, every day. Like, I'd like to put her in a holding cell.
But that's illegal.
But you are her father.
It's bad parenting, number one. And number two, I don't think that would get through to her.
This kid is going back to school on some 2PAC vibe now. She's going to be America's outlaw.
That is traumatizing to be put in handcuffs as a six-year-old.
Yes, it is.
It's like, dude.
And there are studies done about acute childhood experiences. Like, there's data to back up how we should be not treating our kids like this.
I just had a funny thought. Imagine Chase McCabe is like a school police officer for a kindergarten class, and the constable tries to give out a citation, and little Johnny just steps on his foot and then kicks him in the shin.
Shut up, constable!
I don't respect you. I don't have to listen to you. You're not my daddy.
You're not my dad. You're not my boss. You're not God.
Number three.
Oh, my God. So speaking of temper tantrums, this 19-year-old assaulted and threatened her elderly relatives with a knife because she was denied extra tomatoes. Now, she threw a pack of cigarettes at her great-grandmother. She tried to throw a water bottle at her grandfather and chased him out with a knife, all because she just wanted her fair share of fresh tomatoes.
Oh, wow. I'd hate to see how she acts when the Hidden Valley Ranch bottle's empty.
Exactly.
Tell you that much.
Whew. Fresh tomato.
Tomatoes that good?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out. Are tomatoes that good that you have to physically, like, you have to threaten someone and chase someone, you know, with a knife? Are they that good? I'm not a big tomato person.
I'm pro tomato.
This is Middle Tennessee. If you are not pro tomato, get the hell out.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. This is one of the only things that Middle Tennessee does better than everywhere else in America. We grow just baller heirloom tomatoes in this part of the country. And I have learned to become a massive tomato snob. We have Tomato Festival in my neighborhood every year, like now going on 14 years. Just happened a couple of weeks ago.
But does it make you want to attack someone?
My wife would commit crimes for a good tomato.
Oh, man. Well,
I'm not even kidding.
I don't know.
I would not mess with her when she's picking out tomatoes.
What are they putting in those tomatoes?
As long as it's got the right amount of acidity. Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
Got to be real juicy and ripe.
Heirlooms. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I need to do a...
You're a big Italian food guy. How are you anti-tomato?
Yeah. No, I'm not anti-tomato. I'm just not... It's not like I got to have tomato. Okay. It's the difference between a tomato and tomato sauce.
Okay. Well, and there's
eating just like a tomato.
Once you've had, like, Tennessee's best heirloom, farmer's market tomatoes, when you have, like, the real thing, you will never go back again. You'll never go back to, like, grocery store, like, winter tomatoes. You'll never do
it. Once you go red, you don't pee in the bed.
The football in Tennessee might suck, but the tomatoes, they are excellent. Coming up next.
I did not know where that was going, but what does that mean?
That's why I can't get my kid potty trained.
All right, big Predators announcement when we come back here on Morning Drive. Don't touch that dial.